to take for my text and theme, the song of the redeemed. Maybe you're like me today and you come to a meeting like this, and certainly when we read the book of Revelation, you maybe struggle to understand it or to learn from it. But you know, men and women, today when we come to the book of Revelation, we should not fear it. Now, I know if I was to go to the door this morning and you were to ask me certain questions about certain passages and certain things within this book, I'd have to be honest and say to you that I don't really know either. I haven't fully grasped it or understood it. But I believe that the key to the book of Revelation can be seen in verse 3. Whether you're a good reader or an average reader, or maybe just someone like myself that maybe struggles with reading and not just that great at reading, but yet God has promised that there's a blessing. And the key to the book is found in verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth. And so you can find, men and women, today that as you and I would come to the book of Revelation, whether we're good at reading or not so good at reading, yet God promises there's a blessing to them that readeth. But he also not only says there's a blessing to he that readeth, but to they that heareth this prophecy. And so you see, men and women, already the key to the book of Revelation as it opens before you, a book that is a prophecy, because the God says it, that heareth this prophecy. The revelation deals with the time past, it deals with time present, but it also deals with time future. And the things that are revealed within the book of Revelation are for a future time. You know, men and women, you and I today are moving quicker into that time when the things that have been written in the book of this prophecy of Revelation are now at hand. You see, men and women, we're growing near, and I believe very soon, to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you realize in that phrase twice, within the book of Revelation, it says in verse 4, he which is and which was and which is to come. Make no mistake of that. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again. He came to this earth. He was God manifested in the flesh. He went to the cross of Calvary and he died on the cross for sinful men and women like you. He has risen from the grave. Today he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, but he's going to return again. He's not coming to go to the cross. He's coming to take his redeemed people home. Every redeemed soul, the church of Jesus Christ, to take them home to be with him and to judge the world, the quick and the dead. Because you see it, what it says in verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Make no mistake of that. My dear friend, when the Lord comes, every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and every kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, listen, my dear friend, can I say to you this morning, in the house of God, are you ready for the Lord's return? Are you ready? Are you saved? Are you trusting in Christ? You see, men and women, the key and the blessing to this book, it's in the reading of it. It's in the hearing of it. But do you notice that at the very end of verse 3, not only to the reading of the book and the hearing of the prophecy, but the keeping of it. You know, men and women, the psalmist said in the word of God, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. As you read the word of God, do you pray over the word of God? Do you ask the Lord to hide his word in your heart? You see, today there are many on the word, they've got a head knowledge of religion, a head knowledge of Christianity. But my friend, there's nothing in the heart. And that's where the word of God's got to go. It's got to go into the heart. You see, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And men and women, I can definitely say today, I believe this with all of my heart, that if you and I read this book, and as you and I listen to the preaching and the teaching of the word of God, and we hide the word of God in our heart, aye, they can take away our possessions. Aye, we can lose our health. We can lose our wealth. But there's one thing we'll never lose is the word of God. The word of God. And so you see, there's a blessing to be had in the reading. There's a blessing to be had in the hearing of the words of this prophecy. And there's a blessing to have in the keeping of the word of God. And I tell you, men and women, today, no matter how discouraged you are, no matter how down in this world you are, my dear friend, no matter how lonely you are, how hard you're getting it, no matter how many times you turn to the word of God, and the moment you open this book, I believe with all my heart, God will bless your soul, and God will encourage you. God will give you the strength to get up and to go on to the next day. My dear friend, are you reading the book? Are you listening to the word? And are you hiding it in your heart? You see, whenever Paul wrote that letter, he said, as from a child, as from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. You see, men and women, that's why it's good to read the book. That's why it's good to listen to the preaching of the word of God. And it's good to hear and to hide it in your heart. But you notice something when we come to this book, and it is a prophecy. And why the Lord wants us to read this book and to hear these words and to keep them in our heart, it's that we would ponder over, that we would keep looking to that future time whenever the Lord will appear and the Lord will judge the quick and the dead. And men and women, that we don't forget this. That there is coming a time. And I'm saying this with my heart here today. Sir, if the Lord was to come today, if he was to come today, and your name was not to be found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you'd be cast into the lake of fire, and this being the second death. And you've heard that today. You've heard those words from this pulpit today, that if your name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you'll be cast into the lake of fire. And I trust that you will ponder over that, that the Spirit of God will strive and work in your heart and your soul, that you'll come to the cross and accept Christ as your Savior. Because you see, this, not only when we begin to open this book and we read this prophecy, we begin to see the title of the book. And the title of the book is given there in verse 1 when it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The book's not a revelation of John. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ, of who he is, who he was, and who he is to come. And men and women today, when we turn to the book and we open the book and we read the book from Genesis to Revelation, we're given and we get a revelation of Jesus Christ. You go to Genesis 3, and it's not very far into the book. You'll learn about the beginning of creation, about how God made the world, how God made man, and you learn about the fall. And then whenever Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, God said this word, that he would send forth a seed, and it would bruise the head of the serpent. And that seed that would come forth from a virgin babe would be Christ, and it would be Christ who would bruise the head of the serpent. You know, Rome have a picture of Mary, and she's got the babe in her hands, and the serpents are all around her feet, and the picture is as if Mary is bruising the head of the serpent. Listen, men and women, tonight, it's Christ that bruises the head. It's not Mary. And whenever you begin to read this book, you will see for yourself, and you will get a revelation of Jesus Christ. And John was there in the Isle of Patmos. He was an exile. He was in a place of little significance. And yet, John says there, he was in the Isle of Patmos for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And you know, men and women, this church has been built here in Armagh for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. You who are saved today in this house, the Lord has placed you in that place of employment. He has placed you in that school. He has put you in that work. Why? For the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. That's why you're saved. The Lord says, "Ye shall be my witnesses." And men and women, that's why we're here today, to hear the Word of God, that the Word of God would be preached, that Christ would be uplifted, that Christ would be exalted. Oh, men and women, we're here for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And when you turn to the book of Revelation, and whether you may not understand the whole book, and you'll not, can I encourage you to look for Jesus Christ throughout the book? Because if you look for Jesus Christ throughout the book, you will see the Lord. You will see the Lord. The Lord says, "When you shall seek me with all your heart, you shall find me. Search the scriptures, and the scriptures will set you free." It's the truth. It's the truth. Because did you notice we read together, as this letter was to be sent, not only from the Father and from the Holy Spirit and the Son. Look what it says in verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. Men and women, when you look at Christ, and you look at the Son of God and who He is, and I haven't time today, there are many titles that are given to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the Almighty. And you go into Isaiah 9, and there's 5 more titles that are given there to the Son of God. But my dear friend, listen, as He comes, He is faithful. Whenever the Pharisees were questioning the Lord in John 8, they said to John in John chapter 8, and they questioned the Lord about the truth and about bearing record of Himself. And Jesus said in verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have light of life. And the Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true." That's what the religious leaders would say today. That's what the apostate preachers would try to preach today. That you don't need the blood of Christ. That you don't need Christ and salvation. If you do good and work your way to heaven, that's good enough. Listen, my friend, the record that's born in the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And Jesus answered that question in verse 14, and Jesus said unto them, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For thou knowest for whence I come and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come or whither I go." When Pontius Pilate examined the Lord, whenever the Lord was before Pontius Pilate, he had to say these words, "I find no fault in him." And men and women, listen, you'll find fault in this preacher. Oh, you'll find 1,000 faults. But when you come to the true and faithful witness, when you look at Jesus Christ, you will find no fault in him. None. He is God, he cannot lie. He's holy, he's pure, and he's righteous. He's the first to rise from the dead. My friend, all is dead. All is turned to soil or dust or whatever it is in the desert. My friend, all the heathen gods are dead. The generations have come, the generations have passed. Their empires and kings have risen and fallen. But listen today, Jesus Christ is not dead. He's alive, and he's alive forevermore. He's the first to rise from the dead. And today he's alive, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's interceding on our behalf. You see, this is why this gospel is real. This is why this book is real. Because every word was spoken by him. And he bore record of the truth. But you know, it's the song that I want to leave with you here today. And I know, don't get worried. I'll have you out here in another short little moment or two. But it's a song. And you know, men and women, we're going to sing that song. And you can see that song at the end of verse 5. Not long into this open of this book, you begin to see the song of the book. And the song, it breaks out at the very end, unto him who have loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and have made us kings and priests unto our God. Do you see the song? It's the song of the redeemed. And as you go through the book of Revelation, you will see this song right through the book. Turn with me to Revelation 5. Revelation chapter 5. And verse 9. And I want you to grasp this. And it says there in verse 8, Revelation 5 and 8, verse 8, and when he had taken the book of the four beasts and the 20 elders, fell down before the Lamb, having every one with them harps and golden vials full of odors with the prayers of the saints. Here's the song. And they sang a new song. Men and women, if you want to know what they're singing in heaven tonight, if you want to know what they're singing in heaven, it's this new song. Unto him who have loved us and have washed us from our sins in his own blood. Listen, angels can't sing it. That's why it was not called a new song. The Old Testament saints couldn't sing it. But thank God today, the church of the redeemed, we who are saved today, we can sing this song. Unto him who have loved us and have washed us from our sins. Oh, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Did the psalmist not say in Psalm 40, he have lifted me up out of a horrible pit. He have set my feet upon a rock, the rock Christ Jesus. He have established my goings. And listen to it. He have put a new song. He have put a new song in my mouth. Listen, worldly music's gone. And if you're saved, I hope worldly music is gone. You get that? If you're truly saved and you love the Lord, it's not the worldly music we sing anymore. No. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Once my feet danced to the dance of the devil and his music. But praise God, today my heart rejoices. And my heart lifts up its voice and sings, unto him who have loved me and have washed me from my sin in his own blood. You see, men and women, that's the song of the redeemed. It's the song of the soul set free. Ah, do we love the Lord? You can find that also in Revelation 7. Also Revelation 9 and Revelation 19, you will find that trace. You will trace that same song the whole way through the book of Revelation. But my friend, do you see the theme of the song? Unto him who have loved us. It's not the pop stars are getting the glory now, is it? It's not all the great names and titles of pop stars you're seeing here in the theme of this song, is it? Nah, it's unto him. It's unto the Lord Jesus Christ. It's unto him who left the realms of glory. It's unto him who came to Bethlehem's manger. It's unto him who went all the way to the cross of Calvary on Golgotha's hill. It's unto him who they nailed to the old cross. It's unto him who cried, it is finished. It's unto him who shed his precious blood. It's unto him who loved me. Oh, you see, there's none but Christ can satisfy. There's hope and life and lasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in thee. You'll not find life in the world. Ah, you'll find pleasure. You'll find pleasure. But the Bible says your pleasure in sin is only but for a season. But there's none but Christ can satisfy. Lord, I've tried the broken cisterns. And the water's failed. The water's failed. And there are many in this building today. And you were in the clubs and the dances and the pubs. But you can truly say today, unto him who have loved me and have washed me from my sin in his own blood. You see the song, you see the theme. Do you see the passion? Unto him who have loved me. You see, brothers and sisters, today we're loved, and we're loved with an everlasting love. There's too many divorces today in Ulster. There's too many divorces in the United Kingdom. But let me tell you about my Saviour. He'll not divorce you. He'll not divorce you. Because he says, I love thee with an everlasting love. Everlasting. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. My dear friend, today, whatever your troubles are, whatever your sorrow is, whatever your loneliness is, whatever your heart is breaking over, remember this. There is one that loveth thee. There is one that careth for thee. There is one who loves thee with an everlasting love. There's one who went all the way to the cross of Calvary. And there he showed his love for thee on that center cross when he took your place, when he sealed your pardon. And he set you free. Oh, men and women. For God so loved the world, a world broken by sin, a world destroyed by sin, a world that's held captive by the devil, and yet the greatest and worst of sinners, God still loves them. The Apostle Paul said, I am the chief of sinners. And if God can save a man like Paul, and there's no one too hard for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the song of the book. You see the theme of the book. You see the passion of the book. But do you see the power? The power. Unto him who have loved us and have washed us in his own blood. We're washed. You know, there's ministers today and they don't believe that the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away their sin. And some people, maybe you would go along to them service and say, that man's a great wee man. And yet he never mentions the blood that washeth clean from sin. Apostate. You asked them this question. And I'll give it to you because it's a good question to ask them. If he doesn't believe in the blood of Christ, you ask them, is there a Lord's table in your church, sir? And he'd probably say there is. And you ask them, what does the bread represent? And he'll tell you, it is the body of Christ that was broken for us. But then ask them another question. What does the wine represent, sir? The wine, it represents the blood of Christ. And men and women today, without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission for sin. And my friend, unless your sins are washed in the blood of the Lamb, you'll never be saved at all. My friend, you've got to get to Calvary. You've got to repent your sin. And you've got to ask the Lord to wash you in his blood and to wash you whole again. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, men and women, today there's power in the blood. We sing about the blood. We preach the blood. We believe in the blood. This is a book that's full of the blood. Men and women, are you believing in the blood that washes from all sin? You see, the song of the book, the theme of the book, the passion of the book, the power of the book. But do you see the creation of the book? Unto him who have loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and have made us. Don't lose that wee phrase. Have made us. Have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. You know, we may not be rich in this world, but you know the honest truth, we are rich because we're children of a king. Because he loved us, because he saved us, because he bought us and he washed us, he has changed us, and he has made us to be a king and a priest. Do you ever think you're a priest? Peter tells that in 1 Peter chapter 1 or chapter 2 in verse 9. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that should throw forth the praise of him who have called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. The priest in the Old Testament could only go into the holiest of holiest once a year to offer up the blood atonement for the sin of the people. Because of what Christ has done for you and me, men and women, we can come every hour of every day right into the very holiest of holiest through the blood of Christ. And if we ask anything in Jesus' name and in his will, it shall be done. It's not some thought, but not only be a priest, but one day we're going to wear a crown. A crown. We're going to reign with them, we're going to rule with them, and we're going to be with them. And we're going to be with them for all eternity. But do the best thing as I close. It's this song we're going to sing. You know, men and women, some of us, this could be our last Sabbath day in the house of the Lord. There's none of us know what lies ahead within this incoming week. Wasn't it good to know if we're saved? That when we draw our final breath and our eyes give way that faith that we have believed so long, when we see the Saviour first of all, but when our ear catches the chorus of heaven, the chorus of heaven, what a choir, what joy there'll be in heaven. You see, in Revelation it says, in a number that no man can number. Do you imagine that? A number that no man can number. From every kindred, from every nation, from all out of this world who God has redeemed by his precious blood. And we're all going to stand together in that great choir. And I'm no singer. Whether you sing like an old crow or croak like an old frog, listen. We're going to stand that day in that land that is far and brighter in day. And we're going to sing this new song. Unto him who have loved us and have washed us from our sins in his own blood. And listen, men and women, before this day is out in eternity, some of us could be standing in glory today and we could be singing that song. Will you be there? Will you be there? Will you be able to sing with the redeemed? Unto him who have loved me and have washed me from my sin in his own blood. Three little us's loved us, washed us, and made us. Will you be able to sing along with the redeemed in that great heavenly choir unto the Lamb who is worthy and who was slain before the foundation of the world? Men and women, we're going to close with that hymn today. And if we read it in that chapter, with harps and with vials, there stands a great throne in the presence of Jesus, and they sing this new song unto him who have loved us. And I've asked you today, as you listen to the words and you sing this, if you're really saved and you really love the Lord, you better learn this, because this is the anthem hymn of heaven. This is the song they will be singing in heaven, make no mistake of that. And I haven't time today, but if you go through Revelation, they sang the song of Moses, and they sang this new song unto him who have loved them. And you think of the words of this. It says that he maketh a rebel and a priest a king. He hath bought us and taught us to sing this new song. And I encourage you this afternoon as we leave the house of God today, oh, that we here on earth who are the redeemed would join with the chorus and choir in heaven and sing this song together unto him who have loved us and have washed us from our own sin. Can I ask you, as before we sing this, do you really love the Lord? Do you? Be honest. Be honest before God today. Do you really love the Lord? Do you really appreciate all that the Lord has done for you? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? For my friend, as you listen to the choir here in this church, as the congregation will rise to sing unto him who have loved us, my friend, if you're not saved, then my friend, you can't sing. But I trust before we leave this house today, but where you sit, or where you stand, you will bow the knee at the cross and take Christ to be your Savior. That as you go out that door today, you will be able to sing the words of this hymn. Unto him who have loved me and have washed me from my sin in his own blood. And be able to say, redeemed, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Let us stand and really sing with all our hearts unto the Lord, hymn number 9.